This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Hello and welcome to another edition of your favorite satirical news show, The Onion. I'm your reader for Mind's Eye Radio, Paxton Rogers. Please be aware that the following content is not real news, but instead is humorous material intended for your enjoyment. Top stories begin in politics this week as Trump opens up nation's aquariums to commercial fishing. Claiming that preservation efforts had impeded U.S. seafood production for far too long, President Donald Trump announced Wednesday that he had opened up the nation's aquariums to commercial fishing. Quote, "Starting today, fishermen will finally be allowed to sail into America's protected aquariums, drop a net in any marine exhibit they please, and begin trawling." Trump said at a press conference, adding that commercial fishing would now be permitted in all glass-enclosed fish tanks, coastal mammal habitats, and interactive tide pools at more than 150 aquariums across the United States, regardless of whether spectators were currently enjoying them or not. Quote, "How can Democrats stand by and watch hard-working fishermen suffer when the Monterey Bay Aquarium has an entire kelp forest filled with sharks, jellyfish, and an absolutely enormous sunfish just sitting there, going to waste? That's why I've decided to waive the entrance fees nationwide and open every exhibit to fishing, even the ones with penguins, dolphins, and otters." At press time, Trump announced an additional executive order allowing commercial seafood vessels to fish in exotic pet stores, home aquariums, and private backyard koi ponds. Next, RFK Jr. starts National Registry of Introverts Who Sometimes Get Social Anxiety. Promising to use all of his power as health secretary to find a cure for the condition, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. reportedly directed the National Institutes of Health on Friday to create a registry of U.S. introverts who sometimes get social anxiety. Quote, "When I was younger, there were never people who liked to spend time home alone by themselves, but now it's a national epidemic," said Kennedy, who delivered the remarks at a press conference during which he confirmed federal researchers were working hard to develop treatments for individuals who felt occasionally uncomfortable in crowded rooms. Quote, "These people can't live normal lives. They can't make small talk. They can't dance. They'll never go to a backyard barbecue where they only kind of know one person from work." At press time, experts were warning that the registry could be used to round up introverts for karaoke. Next, RFK Jr. flushes nation's antidepressants. Declaring that there was no better time for the U.S. populace to go cold turkey, Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. reportedly attempted to flush the nation's antidepressants this week. Quote, "Listen, I found these in your medicine cabinet," said Kennedy, the 71-year-old cabinet member stunning Americans in all 50 states as he stood over the toilet flushing millions of prescriptions for fluoxetine, sertraline, and paroxetine down the bowl. Quote, "You don't need these. They were only holding you back. Nuh-uh, Vermont, no buts about it. Just push through the next few days, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. If you still feel bad after that, try some fish oil. Trust me, your life is about to be so much better." At press time, reports confirmed Kennedy was frantically plunging the overflowing toilet. Next, unpopular Pete Hegseth forced to drink alone at lunch. Unable to fit in with top military brass, intoxicated secretary sits by himself. Looking around with despair as he searched for an open seat in the Pentagon cafeteria, U.S. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth was reportedly forced to drink his lunch alone Wednesday. According to witnesses, the 44-year-old former Fox News host wandered through the lunchroom and took slow, deliberate steps past tables filled with jovial military officers, who quickly turned away from him to avoid making eye contact. After locating an empty table in an isolated corner, Hegseth is said to have sat down and begun slowly unloading a brown paper sack that concealed a 750-milliliter bottle of Dewar's White Label Blended Scotch, a 12-ounce Miller Lite, and an airplane-sized nip of Fireball for dessert. Quote, "Well, I guess I'm on my own today," said Hegseth, standing out in stark contrast to the rest of the cafeteria's occupants, who sat packed around tables, chatting enthusiastically with their colleagues. Quote, "I was really hoping to be able to hang out with all my awesome friends at the Department of Defense today, but there was only one seat left, and they told me they were saving it for someone else. It's no big deal, though. I actually wanted to sit alone. But if anyone needs a seat, these chairs are totally open." Several reports indicated this was the third day in a row Hegseth had been shunned by personnel from the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marines, leaving him no choice but to drink lunch by himself. Witnesses confirmed that when Hegseth walked by several tables with open seats, his fellow Pentagon employees moved hastily to cover empty chairs with their bags and coats as he passed. A wide-eyed, grinning Hegseth was reportedly even so bold as to approach a table of prominent, highly decorated U.S. Navy officers, and, undeterred by their icy body language, pull up a chair to sit down. A slurring Hegseth then attempted to engage in small talk until the members of the group rolled their eyes, picked up their trays all at once, and told the defense secretary to, quote, "fuck off." Quote, "No way is that loser Hegseth sitting with us," said Admiral Christopher Grady, vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, who looked over his shoulder and scoffed at the sight of Hegseth hunched over his bottle and muttering to himself. Quote, "That guy is so weird. I don't care how pathetic he looks over there moping all by himself. He smells like shit. It looks like he hasn't changed clothes in a week, and he needs to take a shower. Yesterday, he came up to my table carrying a bottle of Aquafina that I'm pretty sure he had emptied out and refilled with vodka. His breath reeked so bad I thought I was going to puke." On Wednesday, Hegseth was seen trying to sit down with a pair of bespectacled cybersecurity officials as a last resort, but they immediately moved their laptops and turned their backs to him. He stood up from the table, only to bump into a tall, muscular, 4-star Army general and spill whiskey all over himself, at which point the entire Pentagon cafeteria burst into a raucous laughter. Quote, "Oh, no, no, no," said Hegseth, who looked down, noticed the Dewar's dripping down from the front of his pants, and hastily attempted to cover it with his hands. Quote, "I swear I didn't piss myself. I just spilled whiskey on my suit, see? Everyone, stop laughing." The defense secretary screamed before running off in tears to hide in the Pentagon bathroom. At press time, a concerned Pentagon custodian had reportedly discovered Hegseth fast asleep on the bathroom floor. Next, Pete Hegseth says, "There are no state secrets in a healthy relationship." Staunchly defending his decision to share sensitive military data in messages to his wife, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth told reporters Monday, "There are no state secrets in a healthy relationship." Quote, "Communication is key in every strong marriage, and that includes communications about airstrikes on foreign adversaries," said the Pentagon chief, who called the mere idea of withholding classified information from one's spouse, quote, toxic and unhealthy. Quote, in fact, when I told my therapist we were attacking the Houthis, the first thing he asked me was, did you tell your wife? The real scandal would have been not telling her. I mean, if she'd had war plans, I would have wanted her to text me. Hegseth added that the best marital advice he had ever received was to never go to bed without saying you're going to bomb Yemen. Next. Cardinal, who spent Easter dinner telling Pope to ease off the butter, feeling pretty vindicated. Saying he couldn't help but think I told you so, in the wake of the Bishop of Rome's death. Cardinal Giuseppe Bettori of Florence confirmed Monday that he was feeling pretty vindicated after having spent all of Easter dinner telling Pope Francis to ease off the butter. Quote, yesterday, I kept telling him, Your Holiness, I can hardly see your mashed potatoes underneath all that butter you're putting on them. But he refused to listen, and look where it got him. Said Bettori, explaining that he'd repeatedly warned the Supreme Pontiff that he needed to watch his saturated fat intake because he wasn't 65 anymore. Quote, I don't like being right, but I did explicitly tell him that peas stop being healthy when you insist on eating a pat of butter with every spoonful. He probably went through half a stick on the dinner rolls alone. That salted kind, too. It made me gag. He kept saying he needed all that butter to give his body energy to recover from his pneumonia. But we can all see who was right in the end. The way he was wolfing down the stuff, it almost seemed like he wanted to go. Bettori added that Francis should have known better, having watched Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI die in 2022 after housing four buckets of heavily buttered popcorn. Next, Pope Francis's children asked for privacy following father's death, saying this should be a time for the siblings to connect with one another and grieve. The late Pope Francis's children issued a statement Tuesday asking for privacy following their father's death. Quote, while we are sincerely touched by the outpouring of condolences from across the world, we request that you respect our family's need for space so we can navigate the loss of our beloved father, said Ignacio Vasquez of Argentina, one of Francis's 16 known children, who were born on six continents to at least seven different mothers. Quote, I'll never forget Christmases with my father, watching on TV from Buenos Aires while he celebrated Mass at St. Peter's in Rome. We didn't get to see him much, but when we did, he was never too tired to chase us through the Sistine Chapel or play hide and seek in the Vatican catacombs. To 1.4 billion Catholics, he may have been the vicar of Christ on earth, but to us, he was simply Dad. At press time, Pope Francis's children were reportedly behind closed doors arguing about who would inherit the Vatican. Next, God, too obsessed with ants right now to focus on next Pope, admitting that he had barely even noticed the leader of the Catholic Church had died. God, our Lord and Heavenly Father, announced Tuesday that he was too obsessed with ants right now to focus on the next Pope. Quote, while I want to commit to finding a successor to Pope Francis, I'm currently in kind of an ant phase right now, and it's taking up my whole life. Said the Creator of all things, explaining that ever since he discovered how cool the insects were, he let his duties overseeing the papal conclave fall by the wayside. Quote, here's the thing. Ants look small, but they are actually super strong and can lift over 50 times their own body weight. Plus, they communicate with pheromones. I know the Catholic Church is in mourning and needs a strong, compassionate leader, blah, blah, blah. But seriously, Did you know that ants actually grow their own fungus? They're tiny little farmers. How cool is that? Later, after reportedly suffering an unexpected ant bite, God confirmed that the next pope would be selected on the basis of how effectively he could kill insects. Next in entertainment news, Justin Baldoni sues Justin Baldoni for getting him into this mess. Seeking an immediate injunction against the American actor and director, It Ends With Us star Justin Baldoni announced Friday that he was suing It Ends With Us star Justin Baldoni for getting him into this mess. Quote, "For years, Mr. Baldoni has inflicted significant emotional distress and financial harm on my clients through his reckless behavior, and justice must be done." Baldoni attorney Harold Klein wrote in the court filing, which sought $400 million in damages and called for Baldoni to be held accountable for his pattern of destructive behavior toward Baldoni. Quote, "The fact that he's a major Hollywood star does not excuse the peril in which he has placed my client, often without making a single apology to himself. This isn't even beginning to mention the libelous and uncalled-for statements he has made in the press incriminating Justin as a serial sexual harasser." At press time, Baldoni was reportedly countersuing Baldoni for breaking a nondisclosure agreement. Next in local news, serial killer could have sworn he killed that guy already. Blinking in disbelief as the individual passed him on the street alive and well, local serial killer Aaron Samuel Christensen confirmed to reporters Tuesday that he could have sworn he killed that guy already. Quote, "Is my memory playing tricks on me, or did I not just flay and disembowel that guy 2 weeks ago?" The bewildered murderer said as he racked his brain trying to place the strangely familiar man, adding that something about the guy's face made him all but certain he had already peeled it off and worn it around his apartment as a mask. Quote, "Was he the one whose ears I tried pickling with that new recipe? Can't be, he still has both. For some reason, I have this crystal clear recollection of dumping his weighted torso into a river and going home to preserve his skull in a jar of Windex. But here he is, walking around with two arms and his eyeballs still in the sockets. Weird. Maybe I should cut back on the killing if I can't keep my victim straight anymore. Or at least until I clear out some more space in my freezer." At press time, Christensen was reportedly relieved to learn he wasn't going crazy after the man explained that he was actually the twin brother of one of the serial killer's previous victims. Next, woman on diet weighing out peanut butter like it's hard drugs. Relying on a precise measurement as though a slight miscalculation could be lethal, local woman Anna Gardner, who is said to be on a diet, reportedly weighed out peanut butter Thursday like it was hard drugs. Several reports indicated that Garner precisely laid a dollop of the Jif peanut butter onto a kitchen scale and removed the excess with a knife to make sure it was the right amount, as if she were portioning out a Schedule I substance that she planned to sling to junkies on the streets. According to sources, upon licking a bite of the peanut spread off the knife's blade, Gardner let out a sigh of pleasure and said, "That's the stuff," in the manner of a notorious drug lord, who, after testing out the purity of her product, runs the knife across her own cheek and mutters, "I'm loco." At press time, reports confirmed a blissful Gardner was passed out on the couch with an empty glass of peanut butter and banana smoothie by her side, like a woman strung out on black tar heroin. Next, prostitute falls asleep during Star Wars. Area sex worker not as into it as client had hoped. Expressing a mix of frustration and stunned disbelief at the woman's lack of enthusiasm, local man Ron Broder told reporters Wednesday that the escort whose services he had solicited for the evening fell asleep during Star Wars Episode IV: A New Hope. The 40-year-old logistics coordinator confirmed he had paid the sex worker Misty, as she mononymously identified herself online, a sum of $385 to meet him at a nearby Roadway Inn, where he arrived with his own physical copy of the 1977 film in 4K Ultra HD, a Blu-ray player, and an HDMI cable and adapter to connect to the motel TV. Although he paid her for 2 hours of service, Broder stated that the prostitute dozed off barely 30 minutes into the movie. Quote, "We had just gotten to the part where Obi-Wan reveals his true identity to Luke, when I look over and see her eyes are completely shut," said Broder, who before settling down on the bed and pressing play, had greeted Misty at the door with a smile and told her of the special evening he had planned. Quote, "I did notice she seemed pretty checked out during the scene where the droids are wandering in the desert, but I assumed she would stay awake at least until we were finished. I understand if she wasn't as excited about watching Star Wars as I was, but she wasn't even pretending to be into it." The sex worker, who was wearing a faux fur jacket over polyester lingerie, was reportedly sprawled out on top of the motel's bed, bed's floral print comforter, her head lolling to one side as she slept. Looking frantically back and forth from Misty's slack jaw to the screen where Obi-Wan was presenting Luke Skywalker with his father's lightsaber, Broder said he was worried about how much of the film she had potentially missed without him noticing. As the movie progressed, Broder expressed concern that the woman would sleep right through the cantina scene, and he began to make a mental note on which parts he should rewind to and show her as soon as she woke up. It appeared, however, that these highlights became too numerous for him to remember, because he soon grabbed the motel's complimentary notepad and ballpoint pen from the nightstand and began writing out time codes, including Han Blast Greedo, 50-53, Millennium Falcon hits lightspeed, 56-56. Quote, "I was hoping she would wake up on her own, but even when I turned up the sound a bit, she just kept sleeping and sleeping," said Broder, who described how he kept gradually raising the volume until a guest in the adjacent room started banging on the shared interior wall and yelling at him to, quote, "shut the fuck up." Quote, "Then I realized I was missing the movie too, because I was continually glancing over to her to see if she'd woken up yet." Realizing the importance of Misty watching the crucial lightsaber battle between Darth Vader and Obi-Wan, Broder said he considered gently nudging her with his elbow, but before he could make up his mind about whether to do so, the scene had passed, and he had become engrossed in the Millennium Falcon's narrow escape from the clutches of the Empire. When the film neared its end, sources confirmed the night had not gone all the way Broder had hoped, falling far short of the encounter he had long fantasized about having with a prostitute. Quote, "I'm just disappointed," said the middle-aged man who sat in the dim glow of the TV screen and shrugged as Misty slept through the climactic explosion of the Death Star. Quote, "I really thought she was going to like A New Hope. Her bio said she was adventurous, but I guess that was a lie. Well, it's her loss. I had something wonderful to share with her, and she completely squandered it." At press time, the sex worker's pimp had reportedly arrived and sat down with Broder to watch the end of the movie, the two men crying as Princess Leia presented awards to the Rebellion's newest heroes. And that concludes this week's broadcast of your favorite satirical news show, The Onion. Once again, I'm your reader for Mind's Eye Radio, Paxton Rogers. Please come back next week for more news. And until then, take care.